Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Top Order Podcast. Third episode recorded just before Christmas tonight. This is the 2024 season preview. If we're all very good boys, what are we wishing for in 2024? We're going to talk New Zealand summer, Caribbean dreams, the hunt for the triple crown, and Bazball on the road, but it might not be on roads for England, are our previews for 2024, all coming up on the Top Order Podcast. Stay tuned. Well, boys, we're here, another quickfire episode. I guess we've done our review show or a recap of not only the IPL auction, but we've also done our 2023 wrap-up as well. We talked, obviously, heavily about Australia's success, which was a painful 35 minutes for three of us on the pod.
Not for me.
Didn't we start the last episode by you saying that you've been looking in the room of mirrors and what, you know, coming up with all the
humility?
Nah, 2024 is different year, boys.
An hour of recording in that humility has just gone out.
It only goes so far. I can only hold on for so long.
Oh, I've been waiting to get rid of Ted Lasso for so long. I've been playing club cricket with this guy for the last, 4 or 5 weeks. And every time you just inject a bit of spice into the game, he takes it all out being nice. Anyway, let's talk about... Let's talk about 2024. We'll kick off in kind of chronological order. So we're recording this, as we said, in December. I think someone's mentioned the Super Smash is actually already underway. That I've got to be honest, did pass me by. I think with the series going on in the Caribbean, the start of the Big Bash League as well, probably dominating my airwaves. And also that TVNZ app's not great. So I've not been navigating that particularly well, potentially.
Agreed.
It's not great. So we have got the New Zealand summer of cricket coming up. The Top Order Podcast are going to be on the road down to either the Basin or Hagley, I think, for a bit of test match cricket and a few gin-based cocktails, hopefully. But what are you looking forward to in terms of this New Zealand summer? Bit of a new era for New Zealand in some ways.
Yeah. Do you wanna go first?
Why don't you tell us about the calendar for New Zealand, and then I might talk a little bit about how I see the year going on the personnel point of view.
Yeah. So the really exciting thing for me is that we're going to get some really quality series, and especially the exclamation mark there on Test cricket.
Yeah.
You know, with South Africa two tests, even though they might be sending a little bit of a lesser team, it's still good to see them on our shores, followed by the Australians two tests, which is going to be a massive, massive series for us. We go to India, three tests in India. It's going to be an interesting spectacle. And then we end the year off with England, three tests as well here in New Zealand, I believe that one is.
A three test home series. Amazing.
2024. That's all happening before Christmas.
That's all happening. Wow. And Raj didn't even mention that we also have a test against Afghanistan. And then we have two in Sri Lanka before the India series. So there's the T20 World Cup thrown in there. It's weird, isn't it? Like, we've just had this ODI World Cup, and now so many teams are going to go through almost an entire year with very few ODIs. Mm. I think New Zealand might have three. They go to Sri Lanka, I think, for three ODIs and three T20s after the India Test series. So, yeah, it's bizarre.
England the same. We don't play ODIs again until September, I don't think. It's, bizarre.
Yeah, it's a weird sort of calendar. But, you know, I mean, jumping off the back of that, I totally agree that this Australia Test series, I think it means so much more to the New Zealanders here than going to mean for you.
It doesn't.
Really?
I cannot wait. My highlight for 2024 is just about going to be being at that test match, watching Australia play in New Zealand. It is going to be huge. I'm super excited for it.
I think the thing for us is that I feel like for New Zealand, we've we haven't won World Cups. We did win the World Test Championship, but it's almost the last kind of frontier almost for New Zealand. Like, we just don't win tests against Australia, whether that's at home, away. We just can't do it. For some reason, there's been a block. Like, even in our biggest moments and when the side has been rolling, you know, like when we first started doing the podcast, when we had three tests in Australia and we had really high hopes, and, you know, Lachie Ferguson's test debut, all of that kind of stuff, and we thought this side is now primed and ready to go over to Australia. We got thumped, you know, like it just hasn't been able to happen, and it's been so long since Australia's been back on these shores. And yeah, it's exciting, but, you know, whether New Zealand is going to be at their best again, I don't know. I mean, yeah, we just talked about how this test side started last year in, you know, sort of transitioning. And I feel like by the end, I don't know that we've really made any progress. Is that fair?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question probably before Raj jumps in on that. And I think it's along the lines of, there was a lot of hope and expectation that MCG test, wasn't there, when you went over there, that I think there was a thought you could potentially win. You're obviously in decent form from that perspective. So, you know, is the hope, you know, a test series victory? Yeah, and is the expectation one? And then I guess the other component is, and we talk about this a lot on the podcast, you lead into this test series, literally 4 days before, you're at a football ground playing a T20, and then you're down at a, you know, pretty old-fashioned test venue playing in a test match. Do you think the series is getting the billing and the lead-up and the preparation that's, you know, that it deserves and in a test cricket context as well?
Why don't you go on the expectations, and then because I have some thoughts on the billing side of things.
Yeah.
So I think it's been a very mixed year for New Zealand 2023,
yeah.
That we've talked about. I'm unsure that we know what our best 11 is. I think that we do a lot of picking horses for courses with all three formats, I feel. A lot of chopping and changing. It'll be interesting going into this year to see what that new era looks like. We have to start picking and sticking with a few players going forward. That's what I think we need to start doing.
Do you think we can beat Australia in that series?
Do I want to win? Yes. Do I think we win? I think it's hard. Australia are a very good side no matter where they play in the world. What I am looking forward to most about that series is it's a great yardstick for us. You know, it'll give us something to measure ourselves on and move forward from. Competing with a test side like Australia is something, like you said, we have not done very well in the, you know, recent past. So yeah, that's what I think that looking forward to competing is actually what I think is going to be exciting for me in that test series.
I think in terms of the billing, they will be the only T20s that we play in that period. So I actually think, like, we're going to be in test mode. It wouldn't surprise me if New Zealand sort of uses that test, like the T20 part of that series, to just throw some to blood some players. I sort of, if we're talking about the new era and kind of how New Zealand is moving forward, I mean, we've looked at New Zealand in the last couple of years, like the golden era, I guess, of New Zealand cricket is the period from that everyone sort of goes through. Okay, that the terrible moment that we had in Cape Town, where, you know, all out 45 or whatever that was,
yep,
leading up to the World Test Championship, and a huge kind of core that we had that all mainly stayed together during that time. Those players are starting to phase out. You know, we've lost Trent Bolt, we lost Conde Grandholm, Ross Taylor, BJ Watling, you know, core members of that test side. They're starting to be replaced with, you know, the likes of Daryl Mitchell, the likes of Devon Conway, guys that we think are world-class players. But there's certainly a thirst for young players in New Zealand. But when you actually look at what happened in 2023, New Zealand played 37 different players across all of our formats. So I do think that there is there's certainly an idea that we want to start building this next generation. You know, we've just seen Willow Rourke in this series. Ben Sears has been in the mix. Addy Ashok is there. We've seen Henry Shipley, Josh Clarkson. And now players, I think for me, that the big thing is going to be, like you said, who gets in this side and who sticks. You know, we've seen the emergence of Rutchin. Glenn Phillips now, what does his year hold for him? Kyle Jameson is obviously being groomed to be the leader of this next seam attack. So I think it's a fascinating year for those three in particular, because I do think Test cricket for New Zealand is, you know, we've obviously got the T20 World Cup, but I think Test cricket is going to be the one that has the biggest billing and the biggest yardstick of how we look back in a year's time at how New Zealand's year has gone. Because, as you've just said, we've got the T20 World Cup, but apart from that, the big games and the big moments for New Zealand are all going to be in Test cricket.
Baldy, I'm going to plug you in here, because you were very Australian at the start in terms of your excitement for the Australian team and also for this series as well, coming on. I'm a little bit surprised by that reaction, I've got to be honest, but what is it about this series, couple of test matches, you know, it's been a while since we've seen Australia on their shores from a test cricketing perspective. Is that what the excitement is, or do you think this is a genuine contest?
Oh, so firstly that we haven't seen Australia yet. Play, and I love watching Australia play test cricket in person. It's fantastic. It's the pinnacle for me in terms of my cricket watching, is to watch Australia play test cricket, no matter where it is in the world. But I think that New Zealand are poised in their home conditions with a seam attack that is not yet fading. You know, Southee, Bolt, Wagner, Jamieson.
It won't be Bolt.
Okay, well, even without...
I would love to see it, but I'll be stunned if it happens.
Even without Bolt, New Zealand still have a pace attack that could trouble Australia in New Zealand conditions, and they have several world-class batters. Conway, Williamson, Mitchell, all world-class. Latham, world-class. Whoever else is in that middle order, whether it's Nichols or Ravindra or Glenn Phillips, those three guys are the really interesting ones for me in 2024. What are we going to get from Henry Nichols? Are we going to get a lean year from Henry Nichols, or are we going to get 200 Henry Nichols? Are we going to get 90 Henry Nichols from, what was it, today? Is today's game?
Today's game, 90 today. Yeah.
So, you know, what are we going to get from those guys? And for me, the most interesting thing for New Zealand is which of those three are going to nail in their position in this New Zealand side going forward. Because for me, if not Phillips, Ravindra is the future. And I want to see him nail his test spot in 2024. So I'm excited to see how those guys will, as you say, compete against Australia. And I think it will be a really ripping series of two test matches. I wish there were more. I wish there were at least three. But unfortunately for New Zealand, they just don't get that scheduling, which is a real shame.
Can we talk about Glenn Phillips? Mm. So he is my sort of player for 2024. I picked him a couple of years ago when we were going into that 2020 World Cup. I thought that was going to be his World Cup. He scored 100, I think, in that World Cup, but
Sri Lanka, yeah.
It wasn't much else there. But I reckon this could be the year of Glenn Phillips. I wasn't expecting him to be picked at number six in the test that we just played, or seven, that we just played in Bangladesh. But if they are going to pick and stick, I think Glenn Phillips is someone who can make a massive impact across all three formats. We talked about how many games Daryl Mitchell has played this year. I think Glenn Phillips can do the exact same thing in 2024. The year of Glenn Phillips.
You talked about this though with horses for courses and the way that New Zealand have selected. Was he a horse for that course in the series you've played overseas in Bangladesh, because he offered a bit with spin? Do you think he'll get picked in that side? And if so, how are you balancing that? Because again, you've got to assume you're not playing a frontline spinner.
Well, that's the fascinating part, I think. And I guess that's, and even, you know, alluding to what I said before, I think it, you know, New Zealand has to sort of start blooding some of these players and sort of balance that we want to win with getting some of these players more opportunities, like Ravindra, like Phillips, like James. I mean, you know, those three are probably very, very close.
Yeah.
But Phillips, you know, we've always picked, last summer it was Bracewell and he batted at seven. And
yeah,
so someone is going to fill that role. Whether it's going to be Phillips, it seems highly, it would surprise me if Ravindra then is picked ahead of him. But if you're going horses for courses, maybe they go, okay, well, there's a few more right-handers in this Australian side or South Africa side, or I don't even know if that's accurate. But, you know, they might go, well, you know, there are more right-handers. We want to have the ball spinning away. Santner actually performed reasonably well if they want a better spinner in those conditions. So, yeah, what they do at number seven will be really fascinating. But because then the fact that we go to Afghanistan, Sri Lanka and India as our three tests after that, I do think Phillips, if he is the one that they go with, or even if he's not, he has a serious chance of, by the end of the year, establishing himself in the same way that we talked about Daryl Mitchell, as someone who can, who is one of the names on the team sheet in all formats, no matter what you're going. So, yeah.
What's his test match ceiling? Where do you think he can get to career stats wise?
I don't know. I don't know that there is one. Like, I almost feel that way about him. I also feel that the floor might not be that high either. Like, yeah, you know, he's an incredibly talented player, and I think they've been trying to think of how they can get him into the side. It's surprising to me that he hasn't had a go further up the order. You know, in that, you know, disastrous Australian series is where he made his test debut. He scored a 50. He
played well
in that in his game, but like, I think he was dropped early on. Like, he had his chances, but I think he's developed a lot as a player since then. And in the way that we, like, sort of referenced in our IPL episode, that Ravindra, I think he will maximise the use of his time in the IPL. I think Phillips absolutely has done that in terms of when he's gone away to these franchise tournaments. It seems like he's bowled hundreds and hundreds of overs. He's done hundreds and hundreds and thousands of push-ups to, like, strengthen his body and actually improve his game. So, yeah, look, I think he's someone who will continue to develop.
Can I give you a comp for Glenn Phillips?
Sure.
Andrew Simons. The success of the Glenn Phillips experiment, if you want to call it that, with New Zealand cricket, is not what his averages are. It's how he impacts the way in which New Zealand go about their cricket. And I think the comp for him is the way that Andrew Simons impacted across multiple formats how Australia were able to play their cricket, particularly their ability to attack in test cricket from the number six or number seven position. I think that's going to be the impact that Glenn Phillips could have in terms of how he affects the way in which New Zealand are going to play cricket. And I think if you judge Glenn Phillips by whether or not he averages 35 or 40 with the bat, I think he's going to let you down. Oh, he's going to let fans down, because I don't think that's the way that we should be looking at Glenn Phillips. We should be looking at, is he contributing to winning games for New Zealand or putting New Zealand in winning positions, which is exactly what he did in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
And I think if he continues to do that, he'll be a massive success for New Zealand.
And I think the flip side of that is Glenn Maxwell. Like, I think that's the other side of things that could happen. Mm. Like, those two outcomes, I think, are both on the table in terms of Phillips' career. And, yeah, like I said, watching that develop will be fascinating. After the New Zealand summer, or during the New Zealand summer, we do have another series that is going to be going on that I think is going to capture a lot of attention, certainly from all of us in the room as well, and I'm sure everyone listening and watching on as well. England have a little series that they're going to be taking part in. Well, it's not so little. Five tests.
Yeah, look, five test series against India for England. So I've kind of think put Bazball on the road. It's going to be interesting in terms of the grounds that we play on as well. So we're not playing what you would call the traditional test match venues on that tour as well. So okay. I think we play in Hyderabad, Vishakhapatnam, Rajkot, Ranchi, and then Dharamsala. So there's none of those sort of really, you know, really, well, they're all big grounds in India, aren't they? But we're not playing at the old bastions, I suppose, of Indian cricket. So going to be really interested to see, you know, how that goes from a conditions perspective. I think, you know, Dharamsala, I think, has been good from a seaming perspective. England have picked, you know, Jimmy Anderson in that squad. So I think if I kind of, you know, really project what I'm looking forward to, it is the emergence or the continuation, I suppose, of the Bazball experiment, that, you know, the way that England are going to go about playing their test cricket. I think the kind of side comment to that is, it's a difficult one because Ian Healy was my cricketing hero, and you know, he was all set to bow out in a home test match in Brisbane in 1999. But you know, with the emergence of Adam Gilchrist, I think he'd played Zimbabwe series away from home, and you could see he was on the decline. But all the press was he was going to get this fairy tale finish at the Gabba. He didn't. And I think, you know, quite rightly, you can't, you know, you can't have that much sentiment in Test cricket. But my hope is that Jimmy Anderson can just prove some of those critics wrong for another 6 months or so. He didn't have a great Ashes series from a results perspective, but when you kind of look at some of the inputs, his speeds were there. He bowled without a little bit of luck in a couple of spells. And so if anybody in English cricket deserves that fairy tale finish with, you know, the amount of wickets that he's got, it is him. And as grumpy as he comes across on the field, I think he's actually a fantastic bloke. You know, he's great on the Tail Enders podcast. He comes across as just loving the game. He said, even when I've finished, I'll go down to the nets, and if it's someone with a baseball mitt, I just want to see whether I can still swing it. You know, he said he's going to continue to do that after he's finished playing. So that's the little side product going on. But yeah, that test series for me is going to be fascinating. I think India will be too strong on home soil. You know, that narrowly failed now in two quests for the World Test Championship mace. I think they've got quality all around the park, and England are going to find it really, really hard, because I think India is, if not the, you know, the hardest frontier, it's up there with Australia as the toughest place to go away and win.
I was going to ask you that. Like, we've seen baseball. Like, is this the biggest test for baseball so far, right? You know, and in terms of what they're going to be facing and the challenges.
I don't know. I think the Ashes was a pretty decent challenge to face. This is gonna test, I think, the resolve of the guys to potentially keep going after spinners, because they're going to have to do that at some point. It might not be in the first test match, it might not be in the first session, but at some point they're going to have to probably be in a position where someone like Ben Duckett sweeps the out of everything and looks silly doing it, and then he's got to go in and do it again. And the guys have got to, you know, they've got to find a way to continue to put the foot down and exert the pressure and all these kind of buzzwords that have come out of this baseball era. And then I think from a bowling perspective as well, I think what will stand them in really, really good stead is the way that we bowled in Pakistan last winter. Mm-hmm. Found a way with picking seamers. Yes, we did bring in a Ryan Ahmed, we did bring in a Will Jacks, but we set some really, really, I think, innovative plans with the likes of Ollie Robinson and the likes of James Anderson, and found ways to take wickets on very, very flat, not seam friendly pitches. So I think that, you know, that's going to be the challenge, is how do you get Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma and some of these guys out when it is, you know, when it is flat, and winkle them out, because we don't have that world-class mystery, you know, mystery spin. We've gone down the route of a Jack Leach, and then, you know, we've tried to pick someone that could be the next Shane Warne, and, you know, whether it's Ryan Ahmed or Chris Schofield or any host of people. Rashid back. We've brought Moeen Ali back for a final song. So I think we've tried all those things. I think they're going to go down the route of, yes, they've taken some spin options, Tom Hartley. We talked about on that pod a couple of weeks ago. Ryan Ahmed's going to go as well, but I do think that those guys will get their chance in this series. But I think it will be the plans that they have as a seam attack, which is where our strength is from a bowling perspective, to try and get wickets on those Indian wickets.
You've got a world class spinner batting at 3 or 4 in India, and Joe Root. You mentioned his name a couple of times there, not meaning to. I'm sure he'll have a big part to play. Baseball in India is actually incredibly fascinating.
Oh yeah,
I would love to see how it goes. If we are on these pitches that are not conducive to batting conditions, 200, 250, baseball can score that in a session and a half.
That's what's going to be fascinating if they get lucky.
Also, I believe when India go on to those kind of pitches, they're like the Ferrari F1 team. They don't have a plan B, C or D. They've got plan A, which is bowling spin and taking wickets. It'll be interesting to see what happens when that goes out the window if someone comes down the wicket and starts putting them to all parts.
So we need to go for the undercut is what you're saying.
That's it. Undercut or overcut. Use the medium tyres, I don't know. But they, it'll be interesting to see, do they have plans for...
MRF.
I mean, it's at some stage...
Virat's got his tyres covered, don't worry about that.
At some stage, India will be put under pressure by Baswell. We don't know what they will look like from a series long perspective, but how are India going to respond to that? It'll be interesting.
So for me, 2024, of all of the neutral series that are going to hold interest, this England-India series, I think, is really the one to watch, because you're absolutely right, Raj. England and India are both going to be under pressure in terms of, are they going to stick to their convictions in that series, and how each team handles that, and the ebb and flow of Test cricket over a five-match series, is just going to be absolutely fascinating to watch from a neutral perspective.
I couldn't agree more. We have talked a lot of Test cricket though, and we're starting to run low on time.
Let's move on
white
to
ball
the
stuff.
Yeah, let's move on to the Caribbean. So, look, it doesn't seem as if we can go more than 5 minutes without talking about a World Cup. There's an ICC men's event every year now, isn't there? I think is for the next 8 or 9 years. I think is the
let's
schedule.
Let's not spend ages on this, but are there too many? Like, are there too many now?
Yes,
there are.
I think we had this conversation on Monday night in our social grade. Absolutely, there are. The Champions Trophy is an unnecessary event. I think if we had 4 years for our World Cup cycles for our white ball format, and then some World Test Championship stuff every either 2 or 4 years, it's more than
enough. I'm going to come at this from a different angle.
Go for it.
How excited have you been by the bilateral series that you've seen so far, after the World Cup this year? They haven't been terribly exciting to watch.
I think some of the games have been exciting, but I agree with
the
you.
The interest around the series.
The determination to watch them over, they do feel like there's nothing on them. I'll give you that.
So by the ICC making a focal point of the year, that tournament, maybe it is just the next evolution in how this looks as a white ball game.
We can go into this heaps, but I think it's the ICC trying to maintain relevance for international cricket in the face of overwhelming popularity of franchise cricket.
Yeah, and when franchise cricket have got a trophy to win every year, you need that for the international sides as well, perhaps.
Yeah, look, I'm gonna go with Baldy, and it pains me to agree with him, but yeah, I do think it should be on a wider cycle. I think part of it is, you know, you look at the Football World Cup, that's every 4 years. It's been every 4 years since 1920 whatever.
30.
1930. It was Uruguay the first one, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. But thanks for the stats. But yeah, I think, you know, there is this sort of fact that you only get probably two bites of the cherry, maybe three if you're lucky, at a World Cup. And if it's every year or every 18 months, I think that ultimately, over the course of when we're looking at this from our rocking chairs in our old people's home, it probably will diminish some of those World Cup victories, because, you know, they've come around so thick and fast. So I don't know what the right cadence is, because, you know, I think from a World Test Championship cycle perspective, you know, you don't want it to go too long. But then, yes, certainly from a World Cup perspective, maybe it's that the 50 over one is every 3 or 4 years, and maybe the T20 one's every 2 years. I don't
answer. Do you want the answer?
Go on.
World Test Championship every 4 years, ODI World Cup every 4 years, T20 World Cup every 4 years, and cricket the Olympics. There's your four tournaments. You have one of them every year. You've still got something to look forward
to. You've
missed
the French Open.
I have missed the French.
There's got to be something on clay.
Well, look, that is the evolution of cricket. We'll get to that in the How to Solve Cricket, which is one of my big article series I'm working on in 2024. So stay tuned, listeners.
Is that a splinter podcast?
No. It's going to be a running series to replace the now completed series of...
Hall of Fames.
Yeah, that one.
Right, good.
There you go.
You heard it here first. Baldy's exactly. Giving us some more content.
How to Fix Cricket. But solved, 2024. Write it down.
Good.
But Baldy, Australia can win the Triple Crown, though, this year.
They can.
Or in 2024.
Yes. It never been done before. Australia could win all three formats in this year. That's what I'm looking forward to, this Caribbean/USA T20 World Cup for men is the thing that I'm most looking forward to for two reasons. One is that Australia, if they win it, will hold the trophy in all three formats. I don't think they will, but I'm holding hope that they might. But also I'm looking forward to the introduction of cricket into the United States, which I think will be potentially a huge moment for the development of cricket. We've tried it a number of times. Stanford tried it. The Major League Cricket or whatever this series that's being run.
That was quite well received, wasn't it?
Yeah. So how big do we think that is, the fact that this is a joint host between the Caribbean and the US?
It could be big, right? I think we're going to see that when we see, like we're getting some of you guys didn't even know, like this is a 20-team T24 World Cup. And not in the sense that we've had in other World Cups or T20 World Cups where we have kind of the qualifying process for two teams to get in.
Mm.
This is now four pools of five teams. We've got the likes of, I think it's awesome in the face of all of these franchise tournaments where we see the same kind of players going around again and again in different places. We've got the USA themselves. We've got sides like PNG, Nepal, Uganda qualified in the African sides. And that, like, some of those sides are going to be playing India and Australia, New Zealand. Like, you know, that those five teams is going to be in each format, and two of the sides go through to the next, those knockout rounds. So it's going to be very exciting from that point of view to just see the number of sides that are playing, and you know, USA is going to be one of them, and we'll see by the crowds, right? We'll see whether people are in behind it and whether it gets the TV numbers that they're excited, because if they get that, surely then that drives more cricket in that region.
2024 Men's T20 World Cup in the USA, LA Olympics in 2028, so we know cricket is going to be at the Olympics. So the next 4 years for cricket in the United States from a development perspective, I think, is super important for the future of the game. I'm hoping that in this little window that we've got now, cricket is able to give a good enough account of itself that we end up seeing the US Cricket League, I can't even remember what it's called.
Major League Cricket, that
thing, have some impact like the early years of Major League Soccer in the United States, which wasn't terribly successful but was financially viable enough that it continued to fund itself and is now an important part of the professional sporting landscape in the United States. I'm not saying that Major League Cricket will get to the MLS level. It's now popular. You know, Messi's playing, Beckham's involved in Miami, etc.
But as importantly, the grassroots soccer in the United States is now probably one of the hugest sports in schools and whatnot. So I think that's
and in the colleges.
That's the impact that can possibly have upon the game. Let's finish on something relatively frivolous, I suppose, and a player that we're excited to see grow throughout the course of 2024. You both can't have Ratchan and Ravindra.
I think we both just named Glenn Phillips before.
Glenn Phillips, okay, you're both going to name the same.
I think the conversation that we had kind of covers it for me. Over to you guys.
I've got Harry Brook. So I think he had a disappointing IPL for Sunrisers. He's been picked up again this year. I know it was only a little cameo, but we saw it in the third one day international, second one day international, 30 off seven balls or something like that, and just looked ice cold, or ice cool, I should say, in the way that he, you know, finished off that game. And look, I think he is that three format player, and just has, he just has a little bit of chutzpah, if that's a word. If it isn't, it should be. He's certainly got the riz, as the kids are saying. Baldy, what about you? Who are you looking out for?
I'm going to stick to some tried and true vernacular. I'm hoping for a comeback year for Will Pukowski this year. I hope he gets back on the cricket field on a regular basis and gets his baggy green cap back. But I'm also excited to see the continued development of Cameron Green. Can he work his way back into the test team? And what are we going to see from Lance Morris and Spencer Johnson, these emerging Australian tearaway fast bowlers that may or may not get a Guernsey ahead of the likes of, you know, Boland, Cummins, Stark, Hazelwood, etc. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they can bring to maybe some white ball cricket for Australia in 2024.
The other one that I might add to this conversation, seeing as we both had Glenn Phillips, is Jill Coetzee. I'm hoping that he'll be here for the tests when South Africa. He's not coming.
I don't think so.
Unlikely.
He'll be in the SA T20. Yeah.
And then the IPL and all the other rest of the cricket that he'll play next year, even if he doesn't come for the New Zealand series. I think he had an incredible World Cup. He burst onto the scene for me. He had been around for a while before that, but I really picked up on him at the World Cup. I think next year could be a breakout season for him, even more so.
And just springing to mind for me, on the neutral side of things, Yashasvi Jaiswal kind of establishing himself in that Indian side will be another fascinating watch for me. He's someone I seem to any chance I get to mention him from an India perspective, I try and use it because he's someone that just oozes class. You know, every time I watch him, and yeah, I would love to see him kind of establish himself in that Indian side in lots of different formats. So, yeah, big watch for me.
Absolutely. Well, do pop a comment down below if you're watching the YouTube version, or drop us a note if you're listening on our podcast feeds with who you're looking out for in 2024. If we can ask you a big favour as well in 2024, is recommend the podcast to a friend or teammate, or even not a friend, like just an enemy if they like cricket. We'll take anyone that will listen or view the Top Order podcast. But look, that is our 2024 preview. As we alluded to, there's some exciting cricket coming up. We will, of course, be covering as much of it as we possibly can over the course of 2024. I don't think there's any spoilers to say we will be at one of those New Zealand-Australia test matches and hopefully podcasting daily throughout the course of that test match whilst we're at the at and around the ground. Providing we can get ourselves off the town and into the recording studio on the morning of each game.
We'll make it happen.
We'll buy a loaf of bread and a couple of camping chairs, Baldy.
Yep. Traditional shopping trip.
Yes. But look, it is good night and God bless for us here in Auckland. Hope you've had a fantastic 2023. Hope you're looking forward to 2024 whenever you're listening to this podcast.
Thanks for listening to us.
Yeah, thanks for listening throughout the course of 2023. Happy New Year for 2024, the year of the rabbit. And we will we'll be back in your podcast feeds very, very shortly. Good night.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.